The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Most of you know Rick Geiger. Rick Geiger is our sacristan. He spends most of his time back in the sacristy, but he spends an awful lot of time getting things ready for Sunday Mass. He's kind of the behind-the-scenes guy. All the elements that we need to celebrate Mass are put into place by Rick Geiger. He even opens up the church early in the morning and turns the lights on and all this other stuff. He does a lot more than that. He coordinates the ministers as well. So we're here with a very orderly Mass because of his great help. I know Rick as an easygoing person, kind of a life of the party type, you know? And whenever I see him, I often ask, "Rick, how's it going?" And he always says, "Great, I've never had a bad day." Never had a bad day. Right. He's kind of like another friend of mine named Frank. Frank always seems to maintain a good attitude as well. He's not wealthy, he's not well known, but to me, like Rick, he seems to be a very happy person. What's their secret? The dictionary defines happiness as a state of well-being and contentment. Jesus describes it as one who loses their life by living the gospel. Let me ask you something. Do you consider yourself a happy person? What does it take to make us happy in life? What if we had all the money in the world? Or if we could be guaranteed a perfect health life till age 100, would we be happy then? Or if we became famous and people everywhere acknowledged us with respect and admiration? What if we had the best education that money could buy? Then would we be happy? Not necessarily. And therein lies one of life's strangest paradoxes. We can have the best, the biggest, the most, and the finest of everything that life has to offer and still not be happy. In today's gospel, that's exactly what Jesus seems to suggest. His one consistent message throughout his entire ministry is that true and lasting happiness does not reside in our acquiring or accumulating stuff. Instead, it comes from the movement away from selfishness to selflessness. True and lasting happiness does not come from taking, but from giving. Not from wheeling and dealing, and not from grasping, but letting go. Jesus tells us, for those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for that of the gospel will find it. For what profit a man, what profit a person, that they gain the whole world but lose their very soul? What a strange paradox. Find life by losing it? A local bank here in Norman calls upon its customers to spend life wisely. I think that's kind of what Jesus is saying to us today in the gospel. You and I need to spend our lives wisely. The world says, if you land a good job, work hard, find the right spouse, and raise a perfect family, if we continue with that advice, if we stick to that, we're told that we can become masters of our own destiny, masters of our own lives, and we can be in complete control of what happens to us. In today's gospel, Jesus implies that God's ideas about securing the good life may be a bit different from ours. He warns Peter not to confuse his standards with those of God. And a lesson we can take away from this is we need to surrender our illusions of control. There's no such thing as control. Nobody has real control. Nothing works out exactly as planned, and things rarely turn out as expected. If we're control-type persons, we are doomed to endless frustrations and disappointments. If we try to hang on to life as we have it, we're going to lose it. But if we give up life with its illusions of control for the sake of the gospel, we will save it. The gospel doesn't promise confidence based on self-control, but on an openness to mystery and giftedness. It doesn't offer security based on material guarantees, but on acceptance of life's basic ambiguity. The only assurance of security that we have is the presence and unfailing love in God in whatever we experience. No doubt you've heard the advice, let go and let God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? When we have difficulties in our life, what can God do if we don't let go? The truth is, God will willingly be in control of our lives if we just let go and allow Him. His deepest desire for us is that we learn to depend on Him in every situation. Life is a mystery full of surprises, contradictions and reversals and paradox. We have setbacks and misfortunes and suffering that are just as much part of life as advancement and good fortune and pleasure. Mysteries cannot be explained, much less controlled. They can only be embraced with reverence and awe. So let's save ourselves a little bit of anxiety and learn to embrace life for its mystery and its giftedness. We can gain an enormous peace of heart and tranquility if we place our trust in God much more than we do, and don't expect guarantees in anything. This doesn't mean we never make plans or never work hard, but that we become flexible, which is at the art of joyful living. Just as Jesus taught and lived, we have to become aware that real joy, is primarily found in forsaking the demands of ego and letting go. Oh yes, my friends, Frank and Rick. I know Rick as one who has a servant's heart. He's always helping people, always involved in their lives. And Frank, as he traveled through his life of faith and matured, one day he told me a story about how he was driving in the country, and he looked at a huge sign on a sign painted on the side of a barn, and it said, "For God's sake, help somebody." That statement literally changed his life. He believed that it was a message from the Lord. You see, Frank is a very handy man. He can fix anything. And he spends his life constantly helping other people. Ever since that day, he got that message from the Lord to help somebody. And when someone offers him money for doing his work, he gives it all to St. Vincent de Paul for the poor. I think the secret of why both of them are such contented, happy people is that they take delight in helping other people. They express their love for God by loving their neighbor. Actually, I know of many people right here in this own parish, St. Joseph's. They're the ones who give their time to volunteer and to serve in various ministries. They too experience a sense of happiness to further the happiness of others. They've heard the call of the Master, the call that goes out to all of us today to lose our life by giving it away. And that call of the gospel says, happy are the people who trust the Lord, and happy are they who lose their life and spend life wisely.